You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from. When
welcome everybody again. Final segment of the first of many Soda Streams presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Soda Pod. Thanks to everyone all night who's been tuning into us, you know, pre-game, first intermission, second intermission, and now post-game on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. And again, thanks to everyone tuning back in on the podcast at the Soda Pod, wherever you get your podcasts from. Look, Dylan Kayser right off the bat, Kaprizov on the Twitter comments. Look, it was a roller coaster of a game for both Kings fans and I think Minnesota Wild fans.
Isha, that was the flattest roller coaster I've ever seen. That was such a boring fucking game. I'm sorry.
Hey,
I won't pretend.
Look, start off where the Kings actually made Wild fans sweat a little bit. Come on. I know you're super unbiased, and I love that about you, Hoppy, but...
No. By and large, like, my opinion is that, like, there wasn't a great goal scored the entire game.
That's true.
Like, agreed. Either team scored a great goal that was, like, that would be scored against most teams. It was, like, both had some rust to shake off, both goalies struggled. Even the goals that were scored, like, Kaprizov had an assist that, like, he didn't intend to pass to anyone. I'm glad that both teams have the rust shaken off a little bit, but like nothing largely impressed me in this game from either team and nothing concerned me from either team either. It's just like a weird neutral ground where nothing happened.
Kaprizov messed up that dangle and it still ended up in the net in overtime right there. Like that was
that's the epitome of the game.
Yes.
Our friend Dick Flo from Richie Flores from Sporting with Corey and Richie, who cover all things Arizona Coyotes and more on the Hockey Podcast Network. He says, so you got 2 points tonight. Freaking deal.
Hey, Richie, way to get on the wagon of Calcio Storico.
Oh, by the way, yeah, I know this kind of goes outside the perimeters of the Soda Stream, but for the Soda Pod, Richie, we got to bring you on, buddy, because we got to talk about this. My roommate
lived
and grew up in Italy and literally would go to these fucking games, man. Like, it's insane.
But anyways, Calcio Storico is incredible.
Jordy, you know what Calcio Storico is? I know, I'm taking this off the rails, but we're waiting for Brett Marshall to join us here momentarily. No, for those tuning in on the podcast, we got Jordy Cunningham back here. He joined us pregame. He's joining us postgame. Jordy. I mean, actually, you know what, Hoppy, you know, explain it to him what this game is, you know, a mix of. It's truly beautiful.
Rugby meets soccer meets mixed martial arts. Like, okay. No joke. And you literally have to be born in a specific city in Italy to be able to play. It is the most intense sport I've ever seen.
That is wild.
You literally beat the shit out of each other and try and go down and score goals on each other with, like, a rugby format where you throw a ball into a massive soccer net. I can't go any further than that. Just watch the documentary. It's incredible.
I'm gonna have to Google this.
Isha, what is the Netflix documentary called? I forgot, to be honest.
It's not Game Day, but it's like
The Game. Or...
Okay.
It's the first episode, though, right?
Yeah, it's the first
episode. It's like a series, and the first episode is Calcio Storico.
Okay, sounds good.
Dylan's saying we're the biggest fan.
Incredible, man. I highly recommend it for anyone that hasn't watched it yet. It's so good.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Home games. There you go. Home game.
Okay.
Oh, I think it's home game, by the way.
Thank you, Richie.
We got William Fernando da Silva, our friend from Brazil, the Wild fan from Brazil.
Brazil. 3M here in
Brazil and worth every second. I'm sure it was because your boy Kaprizov won the game winner. And speaking
preseason hockey right there.
Yeah. you know, you said it with some tired legs, with some sloppy play in the first period there. I know our friend and guest coming up here, Brett Marshall, has a lot to say. So we're gonna bring him right on the show. Brett,
he's not ready.
to the Soda Stream. Tweet away. I love it. First of all, Brett, check it the fuck out, buddy.
Dude, I love it.
Repping the Wild here in Vancouver. And I love
Green
how you
Bay like Man it. Bear Pig. Here we go.
Yes, sir.
So,
well, kind of expired. This is a Nino jersey, but it's all
that's
right.
Okay. That's respectable. Okay.
Wearing in honor of Victor Rask skull.
Yes.
Rask, Brodin, Foligno, and hey, now we got Kaprizov. What a crazy night. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that last goal.
It was the play in neutral was awesome. The way the puck went in, not so much, but
like it was just a horrible pass.
Yeah, like just it was a great read, and he just got in there, and it's a goal scorer's goal, and I think he was the Wild's best player on the ice tonight, hands down, and he deserved the goal. And I tweeted for overtime, like if Kaprizov scores, Wild Twitter is gonna set off a nuclear explosion. And
Hoppy said the same.
That's what scared me, man. I was worried about that, and honestly, Brett, like
jinxes aren't real.
We have the utmost respect for your hockey takes. Like, you're one of us for sure. But I was just hoping you'd come in and be like, oh, yeah, great goal by Kaprizov. So I could be like, let's just stop and think for a second. That was not a good goal.
Our friend in Brazil wrapped the first line.
But the play, man, the play that made it happen was a good play. I agree with you.
And DPenny101 on Twitch. Thanks for tuning in on Twitch, by the way, and everyone tuning in on the live stream. Greenway was a bulldozer all game.
Look, you
know what? I noticed him. I noticed him, and that's. I think that's
different. It's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Brett, you know, joining us post game here, we had Jordy in the pregame. Jordy pretty much highlighted every Kings player that he thought would play well, and he was right. I'd say, you know, Carter, Kempe, some of the young guys, you know, they played solid.
The five skaters they have on the roster that actually have NHL experience.
Yes. Brett, coming into this game, what were your predictions for the Wild and how did it go, considering that, you know, it was the first game of the season, we were going to see some tired legs and some systems still being worked out?
I mean, overall, I thought it went pretty much as expected. I mean, my big take was I was hoping for maybe a little bit stronger game from Talbot. I mean, there's some combination of some bad luck, but I mean, the first two goals had kind of some questionable rebounds, I thought, ones that maybe he could have put into a different area of the ice that kind of eliminates those chances. But I mean, it was what we thought it was. There was some bad penalties. There were some bad bounces. The ice in LA looked like it was just dog shit. Like every time a pass would go through, it was going through quicksand. I think that definitely factored in. I mean, you saw a couple times guys were overskating pucks. It just seemed to be slowing down. So I think that factored in. But I mean, for a first game, all in all, I can't complain too much other than I think the team needs to spend about 20 minutes in practice tomorrow with their centers taking faceoffs.
thank you. That's a perfect transition, Brett, because I was going to ask the goal that was scored at the end of the first period, whose fault is that goal?
Yes.
Jordy, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Whose fault was that, since you're smiling in regards to that?
Like, it's so funny because, like, I was watching the game, obviously, and at the same time, like just a few minutes earlier, McDavid did the same thing against the Canucks. Like it was like, so it was hard to tell whose fault. Like it was a bad dive by Talbot.
No. It was.
You gotta win that faceoff as well.
90% on that center.
You gotta win that faceoff.
You have to tie off.
Yeah.
Kopitar with 4 seconds left. He got a clean shot off.
Yeah, you have to win that faceoff.
If I had to order it, I think I would go one would be to, I think it was either Johansson or Dumba that was supposed to tie up that winger off the draw and completely missed him. Two, I think I'll go to Talbot because like it was a soft shot, hit him right in the stick, and he let the rebound pop right in front of the net. I don't know how that happens. And three, I'll go to the center because he did a pretty good job, at least tying up to the point where he couldn't get much on a shot. But
Kopitar got a clean shot off, though, with 4 seconds left. Your only job, yeah, Brett, at that point is to tie up that center so he can't do shit. I mean, it'd be different if there was 15 seconds left, yeah. I would agree with you. 4 seconds left, don't let him fucking shoot the puck.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Yeah. I thought Marcus Foligno, the new signee for the Wild, he played an awesome game. The play where he actually scored, that was all him. Like hard on the forecheck, you know, and got open to get the puck back. I love the spinorama where it's like, oh, you're not going to take it? Okay, I got it here. And then gets the shot off clean.
Yeah, well, then I think it's hard to see, but when you're watching the slow-mo replay, he kind of – he stepped in front of the guy, kind of lifted his stick up to get positioning, and then just – I mean, it's everything
so strong,
that is,
too, right? Only he can probably do that.
Everything that epitomizes Marcus Foligno happened on that goal. It was just awesome.
That was also a bit of a scramble play as well. And I thought State of Hockey would bring that goal up because Mata didn't look great on that goal. But again, it was such a broken play that like you couldn't really blame anyone on that play from an LA King.
How did Mata look all game, Jordy? I want to ask.
You know, he wasn't that bad. I liked that D pairing a lot of him and Doughty together. I didn't think it was that bad. There's always a little bit of nerves in the first game of the season and your first game with the new team, but I didn't think he was that bad overall. And Seda Hoppe is losing his mind right now if I say that.
Tourette's. I'm trying to withhold the words.
And by the way, proper introduction, Brett Marshall, Jordy Cunningham. Jordy covers the LA Kings for a podcast called The Kings Den here on the Hockey Podcast Network, and he's a good West Coast boy. We had the pleasure of actually hitting up Tofino together this summer when he met Dylan and I here on the island. So a proper introduction to you two here on the SodaStream. So what else other than this third period, boys? I mean... Fiala hits the post, so two posts. Matt Dumba hits the post.
Three posts in total, yeah.
Well, Matt Dumba hitting the post is nothing surprising. He did it like every other game last year, it seems like. Who do you guys want to talk about next? I mean, I thought Fiala overall had a pretty strong game. I noticed him. Dumba, let's talk about him. How do you guys think Dumba played tonight?
I thought it was good to see him just firing the puck again. I mean, I think that was a big issue we saw at the beginning of last year, is he seemed like he was trying to force shots, but tonight he took a lot of shots, but didn't seem like he was trying to force them. He was taking them at the right time. I thought that first power play unit looked awesome. They didn't score, but the chances were great. They were moving. They were creating opportunity. And I think just as they build more chemistry, and if Parise can learn how to win a couple faceoffs, I think that unit's going to be awesome. It's just going to take a little more seasoning, I think. But yeah, overall, I thought, you know, Dumba is what he is. He had some really good offensive chances. He had some pretty questionable plays defensively, but that's who he is, and that's what we've come to expect. And he is what he is. He's not a two-way defender. He's an offensive defenseman. He's going to make mistakes defensively, but at the same time, he's going to help drive play and opportunity offensively for you too.
And my joke's coming to fruition that, like, do we need to have Spurgeon take the draws for the power play? I don't know what the solution is there because I like the set, but like you're not going to win many draws there. But Jordy, let's flip it to you then. Like, obviously, early on, you were very confident in your beer bet with Isha that the 4-1 prediction was going to hold. Like,
it was looking good.
By the way, 12-pack of glitter bombs. Yes. Thank you very much. You
know, Jordy, what changed? What happened that propelled the Wild? Is it luck? Is it something that the Kings did wrong? Is it something that the Wild finally conjured? What's the deal?
You know, it did remind me a little bit of last season, the third period. A lot of last season, the Kings would play like a good 40 minutes and then not play great in the third period. And there was a little bit of that, but I don't put 100% like onus on that because it is the first game of the season as well with no preseason. And the Wild played hard in the third period. There was times where the Kings kind of fell asleep in the third period. I didn't think they played a great third period. So it was like the Wild were better in the third period, and overall they were better in the game as well for the most part.
I didn't see the final shots, but I think LA outshot Minnesota, but to me it didn't feel that way. Like, I didn't feel like LA, like, the game felt pretty equal to me, but like at one point I looked up and it had like LA had 8 more shots. So I think, I mean, what that tells me is like a lot of the shots are probably coming from long ways out.
So, and that's that was the thing with the Kings last year as well, is they were like top in the league in shots on net, but like it's the quality of the shots, and some of them just weren't high quality.
Oh, agreed. A couple of things I have noted here. Guys, you see Doughty block that Kaprizov shot?
Yes,
he was ailing a little
hurt.
Bit.
That Ooh. Hurt. You could see
why do
hurt.
NHL players continue to turn their bodies on block shot when every inch of your padding goes from literally it covers front. Every like fart part of your body. If they continue to go down and turn, I don't understand it.
Oh, okay, you guys are the hockey players. You tell me.
Yeah, actually.
I can't explain it. It makes no
sense. I would never block a shot like that. Like, if you're gonna go down, you put the entire front of your body should be facing the puck because that's where your padding is.
Guys, so. It's funny. I have a friend. He played like pretty high level junior A. He played in the SJHL. I think he had a cup of coffee in the AJ. And he actually had a scholarship to go play at University of Alaska before turning it down to become a yogi. But that's a whole other story. And he told me when I asked him that, because he was a defenseman and he put up a lot of points. But I asked him, like, why do you guys do that? And he looked at me and went, Isha, I'm the type of defenseman who wouldn't even wear a cup. So that shows how many shots Christ. I was blocking. So he didn't have an answer for me either because he didn't even block shots. Nor did he even play much of defense, putting up 30 points in like 40 games. How are you? Love you, Chad.
Wow. I mean, I can speak firsthand playing hockey growing up and being the guy that was expected to go block those shots. I am not turning my back to it. Never. Not even considering.
Shane, your boy SV, biggest fan of the Soda Pod. For some reason, it says my handle is at null. I'm sorry to hear that, Shane. He also says you missed 100% of the shots you don't take.
Michael That's Scott, true. Wayne Gretzky.
There you go. There you go. What else you guys have noted from this period? I got a couple things I could ramble on. I love taking notes throughout any game that I cover, but we want to hear from you, Brett, Jordy, Hoppy. What else you guys got?
I'm still trying to comprehend what happened with the Wild centers the last like 8 minutes of the period. All of a sudden, Victor Rask was the number one center. It seemed like Bonino didn't take a shift for like 4 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't know it was Bonino at all
on the fourth line. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Rask had a good game and he looked good in camp. So I would, God, this feels weird, but I wouldn't mind seeing him get a shot up with on the top line. I mean, we have four third line centers, so someone's got to be the 1C.
That's not wrong.
And the saddest thing is Bonino's probably the fastest one.
Which says nothing at all. But
yeah,
doesn't
say anything. Bad.
And I don't see him breaking up the Ek line either. I think they want to keep that line as it is.
I love that line. Isha, I think you and I are in agreement. We love that third line.
I see lots of cries for move Ek up, but he doesn't have offense, and that's fine because he's one of the best defensive centers in the game.
I think he can, but you don't want to force him to be that guy.
Because then you're gonna lose what he's best at. And you don't want that. So I think you gotta keep that third line as it is because it was dominant again tonight. They're awesome on the forecheck. They scored a goal, so it's got to be Bonino, Rask, or Bukestad, and I don't really see much of a difference in the three of them.
And obviously, Bukestad can stay healthy. He can evolve into that first line center. I just don't trust him to stay healthy. So,
So we'll see what happens. I mean, Rask was getting the reps there late, and he was 4-on-4 in overtime too. So I don't know if that was just kind of a game script thing where they liked how he's playing tonight, or if that'll maybe be what we see going into Saturday. But I'm off. I like that Evason was just, hey, these are the guys that are playing good tonight. They're the ones that are going to play late in the game. Because I think, like, no shade to Boudreaux or previous coaches, but a team that in the past that some of the Wild were afraid to do is to put your guys that are feeling it that night on the ice.
No, I agree 100%. Jordy, what do you got?
Yeah, I got one thing. The thing that I might have been most impressed about from the LA Kings tonight was the penalty kill. Keeping Minnesota 0-for-6 on the power play, I thought they did a great job on the penalty kill all throughout the night. And a good penalty kill, your best penalty killer has to be your goaltender. And Quick was great on the penalty kill tonight.
You're talking to a massive fan of Jonathan Quick.
Let's be honest here, folks. Like, is this a good penalty kill or is this a bad power play?
Yeah.
You gotta find the distinction between the two because I don't think that we looked great on the power play.
Yeah.
Possession is not goals. Let me finish. Jesus Christ. I've had a couple drinks, but I ain't slurring my words that much. I think that it looked sloppy, but again, it's the first game of the season. So maybe it was the penalty.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Forced them to have to keep it to the outside. Cause that's what I did notice.
I was going to defend you with that. It's the first game of the season. I'm the Kings guy. And I was going to defend you saying it's the first game of the season.
Because it makes your penalty kill look better. Right.
Yeah. Our penalty kill looked really good tonight.
I don't know. I'll ask this question for all of you. Have you given up on Jonathan Quick? I know he's past his prime, but do you think he still could be a top goalie in the National Hockey League this year?
I think the numbers don't look as good as like he is on this team. And that's
because it's the LA Kings.
If that makes sense, like there was a lot of games last year where the score could have been a lot higher, and he kept him in it. Like, he looked a lot better last year. The season before that, he had hip surgery, and it was tough for him kind of coming back. Last year, he looked a lot better, and I think he's going to take another step in getting – I know he's an older goaltender, but he's going to be better this year again, I think, as well.
Here's my question for you then, Jordy. Is mm-hmm. he going to play 60% of the games, 50%, or 40%?
I think it's going to be 50-50 because I think they really like Cal Peterson, and they really want to give him a chance because he was really good last year.
So, and he's really not your starter.
Yeah,
if you're going clean 50-50.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty much clean 50-50. Right. Okay. Here's a fun fact. This was Jonathan Quick's 12th straight opening night start for the LA Kings.
Hey, there you go. I love.
I have no hate for Jonathan Quick.
Yeah.
Like, in his prime, like, he was a fucking baller.
Oh, yeah, he was sick.
Oh.
Well, it's hey, I actually don't feel ratioed at this. We got two Canadians, two Americans on this. This so there you go. True. I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a comment here. Matthew joining us on YouTube. Thanks for joining us, Matthew. Can we talk about Suter not looking the greatest? I get it's game one, but it looked rough for him without Spurgeon. Now, Hoppy, when we talked about the lines the other day, you thought it was a little surprising to not see Spurgeon and Suter on the same line. Do you think this has anything to do with that, or do you think it was just, hey, he's an older player, heavy night, he plays in the defensive zone anyways, he needs to shake a little bit of rust off?
I think the fans have heard me enough. I want to hear what Brett thinks about the defensive pairings. Let's hear it.
I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword because in one sense, I mean, Brodin and Spurgeon are two of the analytically best defensive defensemen in the National Hockey League. So when you put them on the same pair, you have a shutdown pair that very few teams can probably match in any way, shape, or form. But on the flip side, Suter's declining and Dumba's not good defensively. And I don't think their games complement each other quite as well as when those two are flipped. So I think it depends. You have to kind of, instead of just matching your defensive pairings, I almost think you kind of have to match like the Dumbas. I don't really pay attention to it, but I like, for me, what it says, you have to take the Suter Dumba pair and try to get them out there with your third line to kind of make up defensively. And maybe, I don't know. I didn't love the idea because I just think what the Wild have had with the pairs they've done in the past with Suter, Spurgeon, and Brody and Dumba just works. But I get the idea of creating a shutdown pair and just trying it out, especially early in the year. LA isn't a great team and wasn't last year. They're weaker in their depth, so give you a chance to try it. If it doesn't work, then go back to it. But Suter, he looked a little bit slow tonight, got beat a couple times. But again, I'm not reading into what happens too much in the first game of a season when they haven't played since August. So
agreed, man. But by and large, like 100% agree with you. I don't think that they don't complement each other the right way. Like, I want Brodin and Spurgeon on separate pairings. I think that it was a perfect storm to have Spurgeon with Suter, to have Brodin with Dumba. You've got two guys that are analytics darlings. They're going to do what they need to defensively. And again, like, I still think Suter is very responsible defensively, but he's still not like what he has been in the past. I just think you've got guys that play well off of each other, and I wish they would have kept it. And like, I'm fine with them testing things. It's just like, if we're 10 games from now and we have the same pairings, I'm not going to be thrilled.
Yeah, and I believe, I don't know.
If they do this for a couple games, then I'm okay.
I don't know who was on the ice for the third goal, but I know it was the Suter-Dumba pairing that was on the ice for both the first two goals that LA scored.
Okay.
And both of the goals were results of those two getting basically beat by the LA forwards for the goals too. So,
One thing I did like, and I know it's circling back to Cam Talbot a little bit, he brought the fire this game though. And this is a goalie who, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but you know, I didn't think that he was that much of an emotional goalie. And I mean, by every means, I'd be pissed too if I was in net. But after that Kempe wraparound, dude, you saw, like, Talbot was pissed. He was chirping at his defenders and his teammates. And he was like, you know, stomping his skates a little bit. I'd like to see that fire. Jordy, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that goal was changed to Dustin Brown.
Oh, okay,
I know it's his 300th
career. BI Sports Talk. Why don't you?
Really important. Really important.
It was a milestone. It was his 300th career goal.
Goal of the year for Dustin Brown. We have to announce it.
Yeah, a goal and a bad giveaway.
DPenny101 again on Twitter saying, hate the pairing, but I feel they just want Brodin to get used to not having Dumba once Seattle most likely takes him. Seattle, I'm sorry, DPenny, Seattle ain't taking Dumba. Dumba's being traded. Oh.
He's either being traded or you're going to protect 4-4.
Yeah, there's no way he's going to be.
It's not an option.
I don't think they're worried about Brodin without Dumba.
Well, clearly, look at the contract.
Have you seen Kalen Addison?
Yeah.
Okay, Pittsburgh fan.
Yeah. Hunt, Patterson, Addison, Belpedio, Manel, whoever ends up being, I don't think it's.
Hang on, matter. Brett, I need to hear you say it to Isha, and this is the last we'll say about Pittsburgh for now. But how good are the first two defensive pairings for Pittsburgh based on your analytics breakdown? They're pretty good, right?
I don't have it handy.
They were 6-4.
6-4, sure. But, I mean, that's largely driven by Letang and Marino and not the other two.
I disagree. I think Dumoulin is far bigger driver than Letang in the first
round. Based on the analytics that I use, they're mainly driven by Letang and Marino. Not
how do you like that, Hoppy?
I still genuinely think that Dumoulin is more disrespected than Spurgeon is. Suck it, Minnesota fans who think that Spurgeon should be a number two defenseman in the league.
Hoppy, you can take that up with tip of the iceberg. Boys, any other thoughts from this third period? If not, let's wrap things up and talk about anything else we took from this entire game and what we think we're going to see from this team. I know it's a small sample size, but for the rest of the season. Brett, we'll start with you.
I love Kirill Kaprizov.
Surprise, surprise.
We're shocked.
That's my takeaway. I mean, every time he had the puck tonight, it was just... I think his passing was really on display. He was making smart passes. He was making
the sauce was nice.
Incredible passes. He just his offensive IQ on just where to go with the puck at all times is just it's so good. It's so good. He's so good, guys. Like
that. Honestly, that first goal of the game, Brett. Like, how amazing was that pass?
Perfect. Like, I don't know, the dude's just awesome. He's fun to watch, and I can't wait to watch that guy for however long we get to watch him in Minnesota.
It was accidentally perfect. There you go, Hoppy. Yep.
I love accidentally perfect. That fits Minnesota's vibe perfectly.
No,
let's hear your perspective. Like, we know what you think about the future of the Kings. It's gonna be up and up. Like, what do you think of Minnesota? Like, what might be the potential for this year?
See, like,
after seeing one game.
See, I don't really know much about that kid. I like him a lot. He's fun to watch. I just don't like. They're going to be around that 4 or 5 spot. They're going to be right around playoffs. I think I said three and four. I think I had them at 5. I think I had them just missing the playoffs, but we'll see what happens, man. That kid's fun to watch. That kid is a lot of fun to watch, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Brett, I got to ask you straight up, who will finish higher in points this year, St. Louis or Minnesota?
Oh, I have St. Louis by, and it's not particularly close.
Shut the fuck up, Isha.
I said it all the time. I've said it the last few episodes. Minnesota could accidentally finish third if St. Louis shits the bed.
If St. Louis loses their first two lines, Minnesota might pass them. You're right.
Accidentally.
They looked damn good against Colorado last night, and that was without Tarasenko. So,
yeah,
man.
I know. Trangelo, for that matter.
And I was pissed that I don't even want to get into it.
Can I say one thing quickly? I was just looking at the schedule. It's insane that like the season ends at the start of May, the season ends, and the Kings and Minnesota are done their 8-game series before the end of February.
That is pretty weird.
I mean, Jordy, we're not going to have any hits with you after February.
Yeah, actually, it's done.
Good to see you, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do every game, and then we'll be done for the second half of the season.
Matthew commenting again on YouTube, and you're not wrong. He says, not sure if it's been talked about, but Rossi needs to make an appearance so we have a decent center for Fiala or Kaprizov. Look, it's going to take time, and I'm excited to see what he can bring to the National Hockey League. He could very well be the top center of the future. I have all the confidence that he probably will, but it ain't going to happen this year.
He's got to get healthy first.
Well, that there's that there's that too. Matt saying Parise is not a solution for a skilled center. Nope, he's not.
Nope, no one thinks he is.
I agree with you, buddy.
Right, Brett, not to put you on the spot, even though I'm sure you have an exact number in mind. In the NHL, what number defenseman is Jared Spurgeon? A range is totally acceptable.
I'd say right around the 10th best.
Fuck, okay, you agree with me and Isha pretty much on par. We're both right around 10 or 11.
And Thomas Williams, who was on the first information. Or first
and I would listen to an argument that he could go higher, but I think there's a little more value on people who are defensive who put up points, and he just doesn't. He doesn't produce offensively quite as much as that next tier does.
Yeah.
But I think he makes up for it defensively, but the most common hockey minds will disagree.
It's true. Look,
Brett, you and I are on par, man. Exactly the same thing there.
That Brett, was my exact I think thought. That Spurgeon is the safest defenseman. He is like going to be the same guy in like 5 or 6 years as he is today.
It seems
because
like
his game won't deteriorate. But I agree with you. Like there's other guys that have higher upside with their offensive output.
I love it. Hoppy, that's all we were talking about in the break. Like,
I'm just happy that you say 10 or 11 because that's like right where me and Isha are because like there's so many Minnesota fans who are like, oh, no, he should be in the Norris conversation. And I'm like, I don't really think he's there.
I mean, I'd love to see it, but you're right. He ain't there. Boys, we've gone 30 minutes in this post-game show. I think we're going to wrap it up soon. Jordy, where can the fans find you? And what do you got coming up on the King's Den?
Once again, Twitter and Instagram at the King's Den THPN, my Twitter at Cunningham Jordy. And we're just going to keep talking about everything Kings on the King's Den. Exciting times that the season's finally started. Tough loss to begin the year. But hey, you got a point. All that matters, you got a point.
Yeah, those are going to matter a ton this year, too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, boys. I can't wait to do this again.
Yeah, no problem. We'll let you go, Jordy. We'll wrap things up. Have a good night. Brett, we got a couple more minutes here. Is there anything else you want to get into? I mean, the floor now that Jordy's gone, we don't have to fucking talk about things anymore. We're all about the Wild, baby. Is there anything else you want to dive into before we end things off here? I mean, Hoppy and I, we got nowhere to be, but we have been going 30 minutes strong. We've been streaming all night. We are going to wrap it up soon, but we don't want to leave any loose ends here, my friend.
Hang on, before he closes out and gives his like,
yeah, okay,
where we need to follow him on many specters. We need to talk about Brett. I agree with you 100% that Kaprizov has a super high ceiling, but you and I need to talk about this, man. We've gone back and forth on Twitter. We just need to temper expectations. That's all I'm saying is that if he doesn't put up a crazy year, I don't want Minnesota fans to freak out. If he's somewhere in the low 30s range, I think that's more than acceptable.
Yeah, I don't think it's not acceptable. I don't think that 40 is an unreasonable expectation given his role. And I think we saw it tonight. He's their best player. I mean, Fiala.
That doesn't mean much.
He got 3 points tonight. I mean, he's.
How many of them were intentional?
Look, Fiala looked better tonight. I will say that 100%.
Yeah, I think Fiala is the better player.
I think Fiala is the best player on this team.
Yeah, but I think the gap isn't big at all between the two.
No, I agree. And he'll get there eventually. I'm just saying for the first year for a guy who, like, I'm not worried about him stepping in and being, like, nervous because of expectations. It's more he had a very limited training camp. He has a very condensed season. And, like, even coming into a normal season, I would have said, like, 20 and 20 is more than enough for me. And in a season like this, that means like 25 to 30 points is the total output for a 56 game season. So I don't know. I know we aren't ever going to totally see eye to eye on this, but I just like want to hear from you, like why you think that 40 is a very reasonable expectation.
By the way, it's happening on Twitter. There's accounts that are called Just Give Him the Calder already. Alexis Pearson changed the name of her first kid, Kirill. Some dude tattooed the Russian spelling of his name, 97, on his arm. Like, this shit's getting crazy.
Yeah, be clear. I haven't checked my phone since my last tweet, so I'll be catching up with you.
I just did a little scroll and shared this stream, and I'm like, holy shit, it's happening.
All right. Brett, take it away, though, man. I want to hear from you, man.
I mean, what it comes down to for me is, I mean, this is a guy that was pretty much consensually like the best player in the not playing in the NHL. And I think he proved it tonight. He looked awesome. His IQ's off the chart. He's playing first line minutes. He gets to play LA, San Jose, Arizona, and Anaheim a total of, what, 20 or 32 times this year, right? I think my math's right there with those. Like
some
those
good, are some good all, practice lines.
They're below average teams. Yep. The Wild are too. And you, when you get to play bad teams and you're on the top line, you're in the top power play unit, goals are going to come. Kyle Brodziak scored 20 goals 1 year as the first line center for the Wild when they had injuries.
Legend.
Andreas Anthonisiou scored 30 goals 1 year for the Red Wings because he was playing on their first line. First line guys are going to produce more because they're playing a ton, and you're going to get more chances and stuff like that. So I just think it's a combination of the skill and the opportunity. Whereas, say, let's look at someone like Alexis Lafreniere, who's on a Rangers team where he's playing on the third line. I haven't seen their power play units yet, so I don't know if he's on their top unit or not there. But, you know, he's down the depth chart, 6-7 skaters. He's on a team that's in a way harder division that has a much more suspect defense where they might have to, you know, play a different style of game than the Wild do. But like for me, that's what it all comes down to. It's so that's where to me 40 becomes reasonable, because as we saw tonight, a lot of the offense is going to be expected to go through him. And tonight it did. Him and Fiala, like the scoring's going to come through those two players and probably helped a little bit in the back end by Spurgeon, Brodin, and Dumba Suter. But like to me, those are kind of the six guys the offense runs through, is the four, those top four defensemen and Kaprizov and Fiala.
And that's totally reasonable. And I'm not going to argue that at all. It's more just the sense that his personal output is something that like, it's not even a matter like, Brett, I think you and I both have like similar understanding of Kaprizov's abilities. It's more, I don't want people to see a 20 to 25 point output from Kaprizov this year and be like, oh, this guy's a fucking bum, he's a bust, whatever. Like I'm trying so hard to temper expectations for this incredible talent who's a great prospect for the team. Like he could very easily be a point per game player. Like I'm not trying to refute that at all. Like we all think that. It's just, is that the right expectation to put on him? And you're not putting that on him either. It's just like, is 40 points in 56 games the right expectation?
Look at this way, Brett. This is what I said on our last episode. Sure, if this guy becomes a point per game player, that's unbelievable. But I honestly think there's more to him than just most point per game players. Like you look at, you know, Nikita Kucherov. I said fucking Kucherov one time on the podcast, and it's gonna haunt me.
You're a mush.
But anyways, you know, you look at him and you look at his two-way game, and he's not a bad two-way player, but that's not his game. That's not what helps him get, you know, those scoring. He's a scoring first. He's always kind of he's always lurking to get that breakout pass or to get that that goal, like get the loose puck from in the dirty areas where it's loose and get behind the net and make something happen from there. Where, like you said, Kaprizov, he's got that hockey sense. He's more of a I don't want to say a two-way guy, but he has that to his game. So if he's in an 82-game season, a 60 to 70 point player, but brings that extra, you know, he's not a defensive liability at all and actually can help in other ways of the game. Shit, man, that may be even more valuable than a point per game player on this team, barring you do fill out those other roles where the offense can go through Fiala and maybe a Rossi or somebody else too. And I think that's where the Wild fans can't just look at the numbers. They have to watch this guy play and be like, look, he may only put up say 20 to 30 goals one season and, you know, come back down to 20 but still be a even 50 to 60 point guy. I think he's still he could be a top line superstar because he brings so much more to the game, which what, you know, full circle, which what made him the best player not in the NHL last season. So I think that's where the expectations come. And I think, again, we're all on the same page, but I just don't want Wild fans. I don't want NHL fans just looking at the numbers and judging him by that, because there's so much more, which we saw tonight, because he got lucky in the fucking scoring department. Don't get me wrong, but he was in the places he had to be, which allowed him to get those opportunities. That's where I stand.
Brett, I can see you boiling over right now, and I like I know that he is a top tier talent. He has a lot of upside, but I'm with Isha where I don't want to oversell this statement, but like he's the first guy from Russia since Datsyuk where Like, he does have the two-way game potential. I don't know where that's going to fall for him as he develops, but, like, he can play a two-way game. So it's important to note that as a part of his development where, like, he doesn't have to always be on the score sheet. But
no, and I'm not saying he does. I just think if Kaprizov doesn't hit 40, it's not his fault. That's going to be more a result of the team and the lack of weapons around him.
Okay.
That would be more my thing. Like,
I can get on board with that.
Yeah. So 40 points isn't a disappointment for him. It's a disappointment for the team and not supporting him enough. Because I think he should – 40 isn't unreasonable for me. And I think 35 is probably where you need to be to be in the caller conversation. And that, unless you're Igor Shesterkin, I don't know what the goaltending numbers need to be.
By the way, Sean
yeah, it's pretty hard to say in this.
Sean Costco thinks he's going for the heart or he's a bust. So.
I have no comment.
all right, that was an extended last question. I love it. Very Isha-esque here on the Soda Pod. Brett, before I let you go, and thanks again for joining us on the Soda Stream. I mean, you joined us on the Soda Pod countless times, and you'll be back many times this season, I imagine. What do you got cooking up there at Sound the Foghorn? And I mean, you do so much more for everybody on Twitter. Like Hoppy already referenced your analytics breakdown. Just
please talk about the charts that you've put out for each of the different offensive line tiers, defensive line tiers. Do you have one for goalies? Because I didn't see that if you did. So
not yet. What are you doing? Not yet. The goalie one will probably come tomorrow.
Awesome.
But yeah, basically, I mean, it's basically kind of regurgitation of information from Evolving Wild and Dom Luschijan, whose name I learned how to say earlier this week, thanks to a podcast. shout out to Haley Salvian, the beat writer for the Flames, who gave me a nice memory.
Yes, and Haley, answer my DMs and emails, please. I've sent you 10. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, I think she said on a podcast, just think of it as loose chicken, but it's Shijin. Sound instead of a cuss sound, so it's Sean Luschijan. But basically, so that they do all the other data. And basically, I've just taken data from one and the other and combined it basically into one number to kind of get two different views at how to value a player. And then I use the cap friendly depth charts to basically regurgitate all the lines and defensive pairings with the values I got from Evolving Wild and Dom, and just did a ranking based on first line, second line, third line, fourth line, and then first pair, second pair, third pair. Just kind of put those out on Twitter for people to see. And I guess James Myrtle, who is a writer in Toronto, I guess actually brought it up on a podcast.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he didn't mention my name, which was kind of a bummer, I guess, but he mentioned...
Well, I mean, that's typical.
He mentioned your work. That's all that matters.
Yeah, no, Robbie, stop defending that Toronto guy. You know, it's
not defending him. I'm saying it's awesome that his work was referenced.
Yeah, so...
he should have referenced his name. Typical Torontonian, trying to take, you know, credit for what they didn't build.
He's not from the Hawaii of Canada. He can never be...
Oh man. No, but Brett, it's honestly outstanding what you're doing, man. And for someone who like myself, who's like, I dabble in analytics, it's not the be all end all for me. I still was so stoked to see that. And it's really cool, man. So we'll share what?
Well, no, like I agree with you. And it's funny though, like, cause we haven't said this and like, this isn't even part of the stream or the podcast, but like,
well, it is now
in between intermissions, Ish and I are sitting here watching the game and we're talking about like the top defenseman and where Spurgeon slots in, and like as soon as you said 10, it's like, god damn it, that's like right in the sweet spot of where me and Ish had said he's at. So it's like perfect.
So on the contrary to that, so using the model that I use to generate player value.
Okay, it's been fun. Thank you for joining us. No, go on.
But Spurgeon actually comes in at number 2 on that particular list, only behind Dougie Hamilton. I think that's largely driven by his expected goals.
Suck it, Isha.
That's largely driven by his expected goal share. But there's a little bit of controversy when it comes to data tracking at the XL Energy Center, and that some of our shot locations are off, and that it skews it to make our defense look better and our offense look worse.
Oh, how Minnesota is that? I love it. Brett, what do you got coming up on Sound the Foghorn? Because not only do you help everybody highlight analytics and you build great, great things there, but you're also host of a podcast.
Yeah, so we just kicked off season 3 last week. We're adding some new segments. We added our first new segments. Speaking of analytics, one of those segments is called the Few Minutes of Analytics, where each week I spend about 3 to 5 minutes just talking about an analytical stat in the most simplest terms and how I understand them as someone who just kind of got into analytics over the last year, just to maybe help people get a better understanding of, you know, when someone says, well, expected goals or, you know, goals saved above expected, what does that mean in simple terms? Because I think analytics add a really important factor to the game when evaluating players beyond what you're just seeing with your eyes. So we have that new segment. We'll have some more and more new ones. We'll have our next show coming tomorrow. We usually do Thursday nights, but with the game tonight, we decided to just push it back a day and recap the game today. And we'll be breaking down our thoughts of the rest of the league and trophy predictions and all that fun stuff tomorrow night. So that'll be tomorrow night and then probably Saturday morning by the time most people see it. So
Before we hang up then, Brett, what's your most controversial take for all those trophies? Gotta have one that's like not mainstream.
I think probably the most contradictory one that I put out originally was probably Carter Hart for the Vezina.
Oh, that hurts my soul. All right.
Hoppy's brother is a huge Flyers guy, and as you know, yeah. Hoppy's a Penguins, so.
But I mean, I want the Penguins to crash and burn this year because I want that.
Dev said that to us. Dev from 10K Takes is like, sorry, Hoppy. Like, I'm not sorry that we want Penguins to be bad. I'm like, no, you should want them to be bad. That's totally fine. I don't think it's realistic, but you should want it.
Well, it's realistic if Christian Jarry plays the entire season like he did last night.
In the third period, he was good in the first and the second. Third period, more a defensive blunder than him.
You're going to rile him up, Brett.
No, I'm just being honest. Did you watch the game? All right, I'm done.
I did watch most of that game, yes.
Like, he was good in the first and the second. The third period, he looked like shit, but so did the whole team. So
I just think the Flyers are a bit underrated. So I think they have as good a center depth as anybody. I like the youth that they have.
Their youth for sure.
Yeah. So I think that they're going to be solid. Chuck Fletcher basically walked into a gift wrapped team when he took over that GM job there.
Right, but I'm counting on him to fuck it up. Here we go.
Look, I just hope Therrien is calling people into his office, smoking full darts without saying a word, and sending them out again, Terry Ryan style. That's all I'm hoping for in Philly. Brett, thank you so much for your time, buddy, on the post-game segment here of the Soda Stream, the first of many Soda Streams. We'll have you on the podcast again, and you know, anytime you want the Hoppy and Isha duo on Sound the Foghorn, you know where to find us. So thanks again, Brett. We'll talk to you again soon. Never do that
again. Thank you, Brett. Thanks for having me.
Brett Marshall, Sound the Foghorn. He also does a ton of work, like we talked about, getting you folks, both into and showing off analytics. Very cool stuff there. It's honestly unbelievable what Brett's doing, and he's one of the voices of Wild Twitter. Eh, Hoppy?
Oh, for sure. And honestly, I source him all the time, man. Like, he and I go back and forth on a lot of things, and that's because I enjoy arguing in general. But like, Brett knows what's going on. He is very tuned in analytically. Like he just said, he took two big names in the analytics community and combined them together and made a chart that makes a ton of sense. Like, I looked through and like, there's very few that I'm like, maybe I'd move this. And again, I'm very argumentative. Like, I'm very quick to move projections, and I'm like, nope. What Brett has here makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Hoppy, what a debut for the Soda Stream. Like we said, we're going to do a few more of these. Well, we're going to do quite a few this season. Whether we do them on, you know, regular posting night or regular stream nights, whether that's a Wednesday or Sunday, whether we do bonus episodes on, you know, days that that we aren't recording or streaming on a Wednesday or Sunday, we'll figure it out. We'll ask the viewers. If you're listening to this podcast, if you're watching right now, let us know what you want moving forward. We'll throw out some polls or something out there to gauge the interest. But we're excited to do these this season. We're really, really grateful and excited for all the viewers throughout every single one, the pregame, first intermission, second intermission, and postgame, and for all you joining in the conversation, commenting as well. And for those of you listening on the podcast, thanks for tuning in. If you didn't have time to tune into the live stream, we really appreciate you jumping back and listening to some extra content. I know you hear Hoppy and I twice a week. You're probably like a third time.
Too much.
Glad you dabbled nonetheless. A huge shout out to all of our guests in every segment tonight. Really, really appreciate it. Our friend from Brazil. Nice pod, folks. See ya Saturday. Well, that's Sunday to us, but Saturday to you. Again, go wild. Your boy SV Shane coming in hot. Hoppy should get buckled more often. Are you sauced right now? Shane thinks you're sauced.
No, I easily can get there if that's what he wants.
Next soda stream. We'll do a poll question. Who's more sauced by the end? VI Sports Talk or State of Hoppy? Well,
I need to know what the quantity is, but sure, let's do it.
Again, thanks everybody for tuning in. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. Back on the podcast. You can find myself at VI Sports Talk. You can find Hoppy at State of Hoppy. And of course, you can find the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod on Twitter and Facebook. We got our next show Sunday on the live stream, 7:30 Central, 5:30 Pacific. And as always, we drop podcasts Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts from. Hoppy, do we got anything else before we tie a bow on this?
No, man. Hockey's back. Let's fucking go. The Wild somehow won.
First win of the season. Let's go.
Like, both teams had, like, really weird goals. And that is the Wild motto. Here we go.
Hoppy, could it end any better? Kaprizov got the OT winner.
He got the OT winner, bouncing it off his skin on accident, and it's perfect.
Well, folks, you know what I'm about to say. Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.